Let's go now live to Humboldt Park in the news conference.
In control, and we have some
about the chance the gator.
The city of Chicago, the elusive alligator was captured with the help of expert Frank Robb at approximately 1:30 this morning. Our team was out there all night long for the past 2 days, and our animal control officers have been out over the last week. This was an amazing capture by Mr. Robb. He landed in Chicago at about 5 p.m. on Sunday evening. He got to work quickly surveying the area, surveying the parks with the help of the Chicago Park District and Chicago Police, and quickly assessed the area, tracked the alligator all throughout this lagoon, which we know is just miles big, it feels. Got to work early yesterday morning once the park was quieted down. Again, that was with the help of several department agencies, OEMC, Streets and Sanitation, Chicago Police, Chicago Park District. And once the park was quieted, Mr. Robb and my inspector, Torres Drake, went throughout the park, tracked the alligator, left to take a break in the afternoon with the hot sun, letting the quiet set in. You'll have to forgive us. We haven't slept in about 3 days. So, once the park was quieted, Mr. Robb came back at about 5 p.m. last night, and I was with him. He personally went through each and every trench, nook and cranny of this lagoon. This man is amazing. The amazing work that he did. I'm going to let him talk about the capture. It happened at the northwest side of the lagoon near the island. The gator was kind of hiding in the lily pads, and as soon as Mr. Robb saw it, he was able to use his methods that he'll talk about and capture it unharmed and safe. It is a beautiful, beautiful alligator. He appears to be very healthy in nature, and we are just so proud of Chicago for coming together for Chicago's care and concern. You know, this is the city of big shoulders, but it's also the city of big hearts, and especially big hearts for animals. And I want to thank the public for its interest. I want to thank all of our agency departments. I want to thank the Chicago Herpetological Society for volunteering their time. And I especially want to thank Frank Robb, who's going to speak in just a second. You guys have cared so much about this animal, and it's brought people together in this beautiful city and this beautiful park. And that is really the upside of this story. It's an amazing, amazing result. And I want to just share this message that, again, while he's a beautiful animal, and you're going to see in a second, alligators do not make good pets. These type of illegal animals do not make good pets. They're wild animals, and they are wild for a reason. And we, again, want to encourage you, Chicagoans and people around the world, if you want a pet, come to your local animal shelter. Come to Chicago Animal Care and Control and adopt a homeless dog and cat. There is so much need for homes for animals. So please come see us or one of our 200 partner agencies. Again, you're going to see the beauty of this animal in a second. I want to thank all of you. I'm going to be introducing different members of the departments as soon as Mr. Robb is done speaking. And then we'll go on from there. So I'm going to, without further ado, I want to introduce Mr. Frank Robb here all the way from Florida. Again, Mr. Robb has had no sleep in about 36 hours. So, you know, we're going to give him some time to talk to you all. But understand that he's been working nonstop without sleep. So without further ado, Mr. Robb.
How's it going? I want to thank the city of Chicago, all the departments that were here. We kind of laid out a plan before I got here. It went exactly as we planned. We couldn't have hoped for anything more. It was a very blessed experience. Everybody was awesome. That's about all I can really say about it. We ended up catching the animal again last night about 1:30 a.m. on the north side of the island there behind you. Vocalized, saw his eyes shine, and caught him on the fishing rod. And it went down pretty fast once we finally saw him. I think we had taken 8 loops around the lagoon and surrounding areas before we finally saw him. But once we were able to see him, it was one cast and done. It's like kind of like foul hooking a fish, like throwing a grapple hook over something. We're going to show you. It brings him in. Kind of just sits against his skin and brings him in.
Is it a male or a female?
It's a male.
Did you put up a fight?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I think he was tired, too. I don't know. Will you get a measurement? I think he's 5'3".
How much did you weigh?
I don't know, 30 or 40 pounds.
How many gators have you bought?
A couple.
Let me ask this. We had alligator Bob out here. For nearly a week. You come in here, this happens like that. What was it? Was there some kind of special procedure you went through?
Everybody's got different blessings. This is my blessing. It's what I've spent every day of my life doing for the past 24 years. So.
You're a gator whisperer.
I'm not sure about that.
How is the gator, the health of the gator?
He's, wherever he came from or however he got here, he's a very healthy animal. I don't know the answer to that question, sir.
Did it help that it was quiet?
What's that?
Did it help that it was quiet?
Yes, ma'am. There was so much attention here. Like I said, he was exhausted too, I'm sure.
So what was this experience like for you? You said you've caught a few gators in your lifetime. What was different about this?
Never been to Chicago. Never been to Illinois. the first gator I've caught out of Florida. So, it was amazing. Great people. Everybody from law enforcement to the park services. Amazing. I've never met a nicer group of people in my entire life, honestly. Great people.
Was it more challenging than others that you caught?
It was just a matter of finding him, and I told Kelly that all along. Like, we needed quiet, we needed to have the place shut down for a while and let the animal relax so he would give us an opportunity. When it comes to alligators specifically, they got to be a bit of a team player. If they don't give you a little bit, then you're not going to ever catch one. And he finally gave us a little bit.
Did they call you or did you call them?
They called me.
Were you surprised when you got the call?
I had been following it beforehand, so it was a little bit of a surprise, yes.
Was it strange to see a lot of people around this? There are a lot of gators in Florida.
It gets interesting in Florida sometimes, too.
Yeah. Were you in a boat?
No, sir. No, it's done from the shore.
You caught it from the shoreline?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. It's all done from the shoreline. It wasn't too far. Maybe 25 feet. Yeah, when we first saw him, he went down for a minute. Then he vocalized. He popped back up in one cast, and it was a done deal.
What is vocalized?
Just kind of speaking a little bit of crocodilian.
What's it sound like?
Sounds like an alligator.
Can you do it for us?
What's that?
Can you do it for us?
That's a trade secret, buddy. I'm sorry.
So you reeled him in and then netted him on the shore?
Reeled him in, kind of just, I wanted to make sure it was going to work out, so I kind of just grabbed hold of him, and then we tied him up and taped him up, and that was an afternoon.
How many pound test do you have on there?
That's 200-pound test. Caught him in the base of the tail, and it actually, the second I put my hands on him, the hook fell out. So, hence, people ask you how you catch an alligator. Just barely is the answer. Usually just barely.
And just to be clear, there no harm came to the alligator, because that was a question that we were getting. If you use a hook, and I'll let Frank talk for himself, but he's perfectly fine.
Yeah, the hooks don't penetrate their skin. It was just sitting there, and the second you touched him, he was out.
Can you show us the pole?
Yes, sir.
Gator. Yeah, can we see the gator?
Can you tell him his nutrition level? You said he was very healthy.
I couldn't answer that, man. I'm not sure.
The gator's sniffing.
You're listening live to a news conference from Frank Robb and others about the capture of the alligator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon today. In many ways, a feel-good story of the summer so far. And they are they're showing now the pole that they used, which was a kind of a heavy-duty fishing pole with
everybody good?
Hooks on the end, bigger hooks, and obviously you'd have for fish.
On behalf of the Chicago Park District, I'm Mike Kelly, superintendent. I just want to really quick make it clear to everyone that the park is back open for business. I certainly want to thank Kelly and obviously Frank and Streets and Sand, Commander Roman with the police department, and everyone for all their cooperation. This was a great team effort. Obviously, we apologize for the inconvenience, and this isn't really the way I would have gone about advertising Humboldt Park, but a lot of folks saw this park for the first time, right?
Hey, Alderman, how are you?
Alderman Maldonado, this is not the way we would advertise this park, but you know what? A lot of people saw it for the first time. They saw how beautiful it is. And like I said, we're open for business.
I have a few people I want to thank, too, just before we have the alligator shown here. I want to thank Ray Laureano from...
So, Bill and Wendy, we are waiting for this. We can take a break if you want, but I kind of want to... I don't know what the big reveal is going to sound like.
Right.
A lot of applause, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yep. Already the babies are crying, so I don't know what that's
about. Move the kid.
So it's time to go back to school now. The summer story's over for us.
Yeah, right. So true.
Finally, a feel-good story out of Chicago.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I was so relieved this morning when I heard that the Chance had been caught alive because, you know, they hadn't seen him for a while. And
I was worried about his health.
Kind of frightening.
Wendy asked about the bait that was used, Steve. Do you remember during the press conference, did he mention what sort of bait they used
to
catch
it? Well, they didn't use bait in this time. They used they just caught him with a hook. They put a hook around. Now, they are at the tub where Chance
is. Stay down.
I bought one of those at the Home Depot not too long ago.
It's like a three-pronged hook.
He's going to take it. He's taking the lid off now.
The big reveal.
Reaching in, grabbing Chance by the tail.
Oh.
And out he comes. He has electrical tape around his jaw, or around his mouth, so or not some sort of tape. So
like a lobster with the claws. Yeah. You don't want him to bite.
Would that ruin the press conference, Steve, if he attacked the people that were up on the stage
with
him?
Well, it would certainly extend the feel-good story of the summer.
Yep.
Oh, he is so cute.
Can we keep him, please?
I have not heard yet what they plan to do with him, but yeah, so there it is. Chance is back in custody and apparently moving out of the city of Chicago.
I love him.
He's so little, though, compared to what I feel like we made him out to be.
5'3" is not that little.
More than 5 foot long, so...
Well, but if it was coming at you...
Yeah, that's a different
you
story.
You would say yourself, that's a very big alligator coming
at me. The length, it doesn't surprise me, but
that's
he's...
That's not important, Wendy.
No, it doesn't matter.
Said every guy.
What?
He's so skinny. Yeah. Like, he looks 5'3".
Yeah.
But he's just not
sturdy. Well, he takes care of himself.
Get that Chance a chicken.
Oh, I love him. I want him.
Yeah. All right, so this is the question that needs to be asked. What's Alligator Bob doing right now?
Crying.
I feel badly for Alligator Bob. And Frank Robb there was very generous to him, didn't diss him when he had
that,
a chance.
I was afraid that was going to be an element of today's
program. But they didn't thank
him
either.
But he's the Cody Parkey of alligators.
Well, keep in mind, yes, he is also a volunteer. So risking his life for volunteer work,
right,
you know, this guy from Florida, this is his job.
Yep.
They always tell you not to replace the original, you know, because people hate the replacement.
Yes.
It worked the exact opposite this time. Steve, should we break and then discuss some more?
Sure thing.
All right.
I heard a different name for the alligator somewhere else that I had never heard before.
What was that name?
Frank Lloyd Bite.
Oh, that's good, too. That's very strong. A bunch of texts have come in, Wendy. This one from 708. Listening to this, it has all the feel of King Kong as they were showing him off and he goes off and kills everybody. Do you remember when they caught King Kong and then they brought him to New York and they put him on Broadway? Ladies and gentlemen, King Kong, and then he just comes out and he breaks through the restraints. This did have a similar feel to it, I have to admit, although I'm a happier ending.
And I bet someone back then said, oh, he's so cute.
Right. Who? This is from 305. Who is paying for this? I assume it's us taxpayers.
Well, someone has to pay for it.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah.
Take your text back. That's just a mean text. It was a really nice scene, too. I made a crack about someone crying, the baby in the background. But if you watch the video, there were a lot of kids there. A lot of people from the neighborhood were there taking their pictures with the gator and everything.
So, Steve,
kind of a cool thing.
So I understand this. They put a moratorium on people coming out to the lagoon to watch the process, right? Is that what they finally did yesterday?
They shut down much of the park and the area immediately around the park. Frank talked about that a little bit, to try to quiet it down, to put the animal more at ease so that it might feel a little safer coming out and being visible.
Don't know the age of the alligator. I'm not saying Chance the Snapper. I'm not doing it.
You refuse.
I'm just not.
You've taken a stance.
Chance.
Wendy has taken a stance, Steve. I applaud her for it.
A stance against Chance?
Yeah.
A snapper, in my head, is more of a snapping turtle. So I'm not.
Interesting.
Do we know if Chance the Snapper, all right, they're saying it, was a male and not a pregnant female? Yes, it was a male. That was
referred
revealed.
To as he a couple of times during the press conference.
And they asked, is it a
oh, they
boy
did?
Or
yeah.
girl?
Oh.
A male or female, I guess they said.
Yeah.
And he said male, but I don't know the age. Did they approximate the age?
I think he was asked and he said he didn't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I'm just glad he's safe. I was really worried about him floating belly up and then you'd find him.
Just so sad.
I know.
That would have been horrible.
Horrible.
Isn't it strange how something that is so routine in Florida, like this guy Frank Robb came from Florida where there's alligators everywhere and nobody bats an eye, to hear it's the biggest story of the week.
We need to take Alligator Bob out to lunch.
Are you feeling for Alligator Bob?
He tried so hard, and as Jen pointed out, strictly volunteer people.
But don't you think, honestly, all due respect to Alligator Bob, he should be stripped of his title, that the word alligator should be erased from his title, because he didn't catch
it. No one else jumped up to help. Well, you didn't do it.
No, but this guy, Frank, caught him in no time flat.
That's what he does for a living.
No, but if
he's
you call
caught
your...
a, he's caught a gator or two in his life. He's been doing it for 28 years, he said, or 25 years. Or...
If you called yourself Bumper Pool Wendy, I would say to myself, I bet she's pretty good at Bumper Pool because she calls herself Bumper Pool Wendy. But then if you never won a game of Bumper Pool, I'd
That's
say...
That's the joke.
You should probably have a different name than Bumper Pool Wendy.
Did Bob give himself the nickname?
No, I think we did.
I...
Well,
did
not
you,
us.
No, I didn't give
I mean,
him the
we, the people of the United States of America,
in order to
catch an alligator...
I just think, again, I love the guy, don't get me wrong, but
you
if you're going to call yourself something, you should be really good at it.
I think
Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly, was really good at baseball.
Dude, I call myself an ultra runner, and I'm horrible at it.
Really?
I'm slow. Takes me forever.
All right.
630 says, how about Snapper Bob? What, as Alligator Bob or the Alligator?
No, because he now has time to snap his fingers and watch another guy catch the alligator.
Well, you can be harsh, Bill.
You know what?
I just
you did not lift a finger or a lure to help.
You don't know that. You can't
no,
prove
we don't,
that.
We don't know it.
No one can prove that.
I want to know something.
Yes.
Why did this alligator all of a sudden go for a three-pronged hook with no food on it?
No, I think it snagged it.
Oh, I see what you're
they
saying.
Snagged
and
it
then
the
he grabbed it by the
in.
Tail.
Also,
right.
This is all pure luck.
That's what he said. In the press conference, he said, lot of luck catching an alligator because the hook fell out right away. I grabbed him by the tail. This, of course, Frank Robb
but that's
talking.
That's what a true alligator hunter says. He deflects. He's
Stop
like,
it.
I'm a lucky man is what I am.
They're going to call in a radio professional to take your position.
No, please don't. Please.
We're just,
no
we're
one
just
wants that.
Getting
Aww.
Word there is a box turtle that have been sighted in Highwood.
Get and, Turtle Pete. Turtle Pete's our guy.
All right. There's a great text here from Turtle Pete. No, this is from 219. And this is true, people. Alligator Bob spent all week wearing Chance down. This guy comes in and takes the glory. And Frank Robb actually said this was a tired alligator.
So Frank Robb is Mariano Rivera. He comes in, he gets the last outs. He gets all the glory.
Everything
people
are
like,
is
that's
baseball?
The guy. Everything is baseball. Everything is baseball. I don't know if that's true.
You know, the other thing I like about this story is Frank Robb is not a Chicagoan, right? It's a completely, we're so divided in this country.
Right.
He comes from a completely different part of the world than
right.
us here. You know,
he brought our nation together is what
came,
he did.
He came back. Actually, I think Chance brought us together, but yeah, in personified in Frank.
Right. But the coolest thing about Frank Robb is he had a plan in place. Like he was on a cell phone on the airplane going, here, all right, before I get there, here's what I need you to do. Do this, do this, do this. And when I get here, we'll clinch the deal. He like had this whole game plan in place.
Because that's what he does. He's
so
a specialist.
Good.
He's not. He's so good.
He's my hero. Wendy.
Alligator Bob, everybody's defending him. A couple of texts saying that he said all along that people needed to stay away and they didn't back people off till the guy from Florida came. Alligator Bob is the unsung hero of this. He tried.
He tried.
Well, when we stop trying, that is the problem with America.
Hold on. I'm writing it down. Hold on.
We have to try.
Try.
Sure, you can fail if you try. Where's the patriotic music?
Let me
I
tell
need
you
it behind
Wendy,
me.
There is no I in alligator.
There are. A couple.
I'm so bad at that.
Actually,
just
there's
not,
one.
I'm not good at that at all.
I just think you need to try, and of course, when you try, chances are you could fail. But
Chance.
You.
You were right. You
but
brought
if you
it
don't
all, you brought it full circle.
Try, you'll never succeed. You may fail, but then you pick yourself up.
Wendy, I have put together a video montage of some magical moments of Chance the Alligator, and I would like to show it to you now.
All right.
All right, here it is. These are magical moments from our week with Chance the Alligator.
Memories.
There you can see the Humboldt Lagoon. This is another picture of the Humboldt Lagoon.
This is visual?
Yeah. Here's another pic. This is another angle of the Humboldt Lagoon. He's under there somewhere. You can't see him, but he's under there. Hold on. This one, no, you still can't see him, but he's under that water you're looking at right now. There's Alligator Bob. There's more lagoon. There's one of my cousin Randy. How did that get in there, Jazz? I don't know how that one got in there. All right, so we will miss you, Chance the Alligator.
The Snapper.
Snapper. Snapper Chance.
Someone's calling you Bill the Hater.
Bill Hader?
No. Oh, that was a beautiful moment. I'm glad he's alive. That was my biggest worry. You do not even care about any of this.
It's what I live for. I live for this.
All right. Well, we can all come together because, all right, I'll say it. Chance the Snapper has been found alive.
Everybody's happy.
And we'll keep up to date with him.
Chance the Snapper is alive. His mouth is now bound and he's in a plastic bucket.
He'll get somewhere better. Trust me.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for our reunion show 1 year from today. We'll talk to him.
Yes. Wendy, there's text coming in that there's an armadillo in Des Plaines. I don't know if that's true or not, but we're going to keep on that story. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Effin. It's Wendy Snyder. We're easy to reach. We're 312-981-7200. Should you want to text us or call us, 312-981-7200. Wendy, remember last week we were talking about something, and Steve got involved because it was something of a word problem, and Steve said, I hate these. My kids used to have these things called starters where they would come home. They got them in school, and it was essentially what we were talking about, these word problems, these little riddles involving stories. And Steve said he didn't like them at all. And I brought a couple of them in last week. I found a couple of them, and I did them last week.
Yeah, I don't.
Still don't like them.
I don't. I don't know why. I wish
they're
I
frustrating.
Did. I don't want to get involved in them.
I love them.
Well, last week as we did them, there was one that I remembered from an episode of All in the Family.
Oh, where they
told it at the beginning of All in the Family, and the whole story was about this word problem as different members of the Bunkers and the Stivics were trying to solve this word problem. And I couldn't remember it exactly. And when I got home, my wife said, I'm surprised you didn't do the one from All in the Family. And I said, I know. I was thinking about it. Well, I found it. It's short, but it's a little perplexing. Shall I share it with
you? Yes.
All right. Now, there's something I want to say about it that I can't say now because I think it would tip it in, so I will say it at the end. Here goes. A man and his son are in a terrible car accident and are rushed to the hospital in critical condition. The doctor looks at the boy and exclaims, I cannot operate on this boy. He is my son. How can this be?
This is so easy.
Go on, say it.
The doctor's a woman.
All right. It is so easy, but keep in mind when this aired on television on All in the Family in the 1970s, nobody got it. By today's standards, it couldn't be easier. You go, well, this is as obvious can be. The surgeon's a woman. What's weird about that? But back then in the 1970s, the whole episode was around everybody trying to figure out, well, how could that be? The doctor was in the car accident. The doctor, that doesn't make sense.
Because, there weren't very many doctors that were women, if any.
Isn't that funny, though?
That is weird.
That something just not even a generation ago would have been so challenging, and today you got it in half a second.
Yeah, without even thinking.
Right.
And I don't really remember it from All in the Family.
Oh, you don't at all?
No. I don't remember things like you do. I really don't. I watch things. You know, I've talked about movies. When Robin Williams died, I said, I have to see 1 hour photo. And so we went and rented it because I think it was rentable. I think there was still a family video then or something.
Yeah.
And Jim said, we've seen this movie. I said, I have not seen this movie. And he goes, Wendy, I'm telling you. So we watched it. And the last 5 minutes, I go, you're right, Jim.
Yeah.
But it took me the whole movie to realize I watched it.
I told you my wife has done that twice with books, where she's gotten to the last chapter, and she goes, oh, I know what this is. I go, you went through 311 pages, and you did, and she goes, no, not till the very end, and then I remembered it.
See, and I don't know if that's good or bad. Like, you know, my husband Jim can remember every dialogue from Star Wars movies, and quite honestly, from any movie. He worked with Jonathan Brandmeier, one of the first technical producers. You couldn't just Google something.
Right.
You had to go rent the movie, stop it, put it on something else. So he remembers things so well. So does my son. So does Dylan. Both my boys. I have no recollection of what I've gone through.
Do they? That could be a blessing.
I kind of like
that
it.
That could be a good thing.
Because then everything is fresh and exciting to
me.
Yes. Do I know you?
Well, I always have to introduce myself at the beginning of every show and then show you my resume. Oh, yeah.
Kind of short.
Do you, does your family study the credits after they watch a movie or television show?
Dylan kind of does because he wants to be a director.
Yeah.
Michael likes interesting facts, so he does.
Yeah.
I guess we all do.
Yeah.
I feel we owe it to the people who made the movie.
That's true.
Sometimes there's a bonus afterwards, too.
Sometimes you get a bonus scene at the end of the credits, but I don't think I've ever left the movie until the credits are completely finished. And always on television, I always watch to see whose names I write. Oh, that guy wrote that, or she directed. Yeah. I remember who that is.
Again, you know more people than I do. That's in that business.
In the business. Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, congrats on solving the riddle in, honestly, half a second. But put yourself in the 1970s frame of mind where a family would spend an entire episode trying to figure out that riddle that, by today's standards, is not difficult in the least. But in the 1970s... nobody could get it.
Yeah, that's
including,
so
I remember on the episode, Mike Stivic, who was the most progressive of any of them, your meathead, he couldn't figure it out. Oh, how can that be? The doctor was in the car accident, and then his kid, I don't understand it.
That's pretty bizarre.
30 minutes worth, I know. All right, we'll come back. It is Tech Tuesday. We'll talk to somebody from CNET and find out what's going on. I imagine Amazon Prime Day will probably come up, I would imagine.
You'd be right.
That's just a few seconds ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It is a Tech Tuesday, and it's a pretty important Tech Tuesday today because lots of Prime deals going on Amazon Prime. We have senior reporter for CNET News in Manhattan, Ben Fox Rubin, on the line with us. Okay, I've been looking around on Amazon Prime. There are some cool things, some silly things, but what are people protesting about?
Oh, okay. So the protests are basically all along across the gamut. There are concerns about Amazon working with immigration and customs enforcement. There are concerns that Amazon isn't doing enough to help the environment. And there are also the typical that have also been just concerns that Amazon has had to face for years related to working conditions in their warehouses. So Prime Day has become so big that a lot of its critics have come out and used it to really highlight some of their issues with the company as well.
Ben, there was talk yesterday that there'd be a huge Amazon strike. A lot of the workers nationwide would go on strike. Did that strike come to fruition or not?
The strike did come to fruition in Minnesota in the Shakopee Fulfillment Center. Amazon did get in touch with me late yesterday to say that there were only about 15 Amazon employees that took part in the strike, and there were a bunch of other outside groups that were obviously involved. I think the Washington Post, which incidentally is owned by Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, has a really good video on this. So it does show maybe a couple dozen or maybe 100 people tops that were involved in this rally. But as Amazon said, according to them, only 15 of those folks are actually Amazon workers. So I don't know. Take what you will from that.
What is Jeff Bezos doing to defend Amazon, or if anything?
Yeah, the company has actually become a lot more vocal lately trying to defend their position about the fact that, look, these are safe, modern warehouses. We provide very good benefits to folks that are actually better than the rest of the retail industry and the warehousing industry. They increased their minimum wage to $15 an hour last year. Last week, they announced a $700 million U.S. retraining effort that's going to help retrain 100,000 of its U.S. workers to higher demand and more technical positions. So they really are trying to emphasize a lot of the positives, and they're trying to deflect some of these negatives. But these negative stories have been going on for years, and I think they're realizing that they really need to address some of these concerns that people complain that the work in the warehouses is repetitive, injuries can happen. Sometimes they complain that they're overworked. They also say that bathroom breaks are often monitored a little too closely, and They're constantly monitoring their productivity. So they're trying to cut down on some of those issues so they don't feel like they're being mistreated in those warehouses.
Ben, we're told that this day, and even though they call it Amazon Prime Day, it's 2 days, but they still call it Amazon Prime Day, that it's their busiest time other than Cyber Monday. Do we have the numbers to back that up? Was this as successful as they had hoped?
We don't have the final figures yet. That's probably not going to come out until early tomorrow morning, but it would be quite a surprise if they didn't break another sales record. They've been consistently breaking their single-day sales record for the past couple of years. Now, granted, they don't provide a lot of details related to that, but they put a lot of emphasis on Prime Day. And I know a lot of people complain that, like, hey, these deals aren't really deals, or I think there's a lot of crummy stuff out there. The bottom line is that millions of people do end up shopping on Prime Day. They get a lot of consumer staples. They get a lot of electronics. And Amazon and the sellers that are on Amazon end up making tons of money. Like, it's, I think it's to the tune of billions of dollars. So I would expect another record, even though they might be a little vague with the information.
All right. Forgive me for not knowing this, but, you know, isn't, oh, it's Pi Day 3.14. I'm like, why isn't Prime Day on that day? But why is it this date?
Oh, go ahead.
No, why did they choose this as the Amazon Prime Day?
That's a good question. So generally, the summer tends to be a really slow time for all retailers. So they, I think one of the reasons to do Prime Day was to really boost their traffic and their sales figures for the summer season. You know, a lot of retailers have really pushed this idea of Christmas in July for many previous years. And so they're trying to do this again. And this is one of the only successful efforts in doing so. But I think it's possible Amazon was founded in July, but I don't remember. I know that this was something that came up in 2015 that they were doing an anniversary for the company. But was it because of their specific birthday? I wish I remembered. I'll have to look it up later.
All right. Something that I am willing to be a part of. I want to go to Area 51. There's a big presence on social media to get groups of people to go raid Area 51. When is this happening? Travel accommodations, any suggestions? What's going on with this?
Yeah, so this is fake. This is just, you know, kind of like a story meme that got started on the internet. It's supposed to be in the Nevada desert on September 20th, and the number of people that have signed up that they say that they are actually going to attend this fake event on a Facebook group, or a Facebook events page, rather, is 1.2 million people.
Isn't
and there's
that
almost
crazy?
A million additional people that said that they're interested.
I'll take my name
what
off.
I find so
Don't take your name off.
Yeah, what I find so strange about this is, like, when was the last time we were talking about Area 51? You know, like, I remember the Independence Day movie ages ago when I was, like, in high school. I didn't know that people still cared about Area 51.
I think it's definitely in the back of my mind. Not all the time, but I'm an X-Files fan. I think about it.
And Stranger Things may have added to it a little bit, too.
You're right.
So the plan is all these people will storm Area 51 and find the alien bodies, and the truth will finally be told. Is that the game plan?
Well, my hope is that the aliens are there and they're just like regular office workers, and they're drinking whatever alien version of coffee is, and they're just kind of like, well, okay, we're here. What do you want from us? We're not that interesting. So at least that's kind of what we were hoping for. But the Air Force actually had to jump in, because this is apparently an Air Force base, and they said, we don't care if you're joking or not. For God's sakes, do not try to storm the base, because this is an Air Force base, and we will, like, we're the military, and we'll do what we have to do to make sure that you don't go on the base. So, yeah, there's actually a bit of a danger here if people were to take this somewhat seriously. So that is important to say
on radio. Wendy.
Well, I was listening to my boys talking about this last night, going, do you think they're going to shoot people? I don't think they're going to shoot people, but they might. I don't know what would happen if, like, a whole group of people. This is the first time hearing it's fake, so we need to get the word out there.
Yep. Ben Fox Rubens,
it's
our
guest. It's gotten to the point.
Go on, Ben.
Go ahead.
I was just going
to
say, well, you know who you are.
Really, where I would expect at least some people to show up out of that 1.2 million, maybe 10 folks will show up and make a ruckus. I don't know. We'll see.
Wendy and nine others.
No, I bet there's going to be more than you think.
You think
guys.
So? Maybe. Ben, this is a crazy story. A new survey from the phone comparison site CellCell found that 42% of kids between the ages of 4 and 14 are using their cell phones over 30 hours a week.
That doesn't surprise me.
You don't think? That's a long time.
How many hours a night do you use your phone?
Maybe an hour. Maybe.
I'm at least 2 hours. At least. Like, all throughout the day, those all add up.
Yeah.
I mean...
30 hours a week.
What about you, Ben? How often do you use your phone per night?
Way too much.
I know.
And I try to make my kids... I try to feel better about it with my kids, because my kids... The twins are 3 and my daughter is 6. They are actually pretty savvy with a phone. You know, like they'll borrow my wife's iPhone and they know how to pinch and zoom and flick through galleries and watch YouTube videos. So as long as they're being monitored and they're not, like, I don't know, throwing the phone across the room or something, I do feel like they should at least have some sort of awareness of how this technology works. They are going to be using it a lot when they get older. But yeah, they probably use a phone way too much. And I guess that's what's useful about the survey, to say that, you know, okay, maybe we as parents need to take it away from them sometimes.
So I'm not a genius at math, but that comes to more than 4 hours per day for these kids. That seems like
a
lot of time.
Can I ask you a question, though? I'm sorry, and I'm not defending cell phone use, but when you were a kid, didn't you watch a lot of TV?
A ton.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of them are watching videos.
Right.
It's a great babysitter.
Yeah. All right.
It is a great babysitter. That's what the survey says. Yeah. The survey says that parents hand the phone over a lot of the time just to get, you know, a quiet moment to themselves. And boy, I can totally appreciate that. Yep. I totally get it.
Absolutely. And it's gotten easier waiting at the pediatrician's office or getting your car serviced, because you could do a little candy crushing while you're waiting.
There's that. Ben Fox Rubin is his name. He's a senior reporter for CNET News based in Manhattan. CNET.com is the website. And if you want to follow Ben on Twitter, you want to go to @BenFoxRubin. He's very easy to find. Ben, thanks for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Now, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. He is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Round, round, get around, I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round, I get around.
Steve, thanks very much. If you're just joining us, you probably already know the news, but the alligator that was inhabiting Humboldt Lagoon has been captured. Yes, Wendy, so true. We've gotten many, many texts from people, some happy about the news, some not so happy. The best text, though, is one you just pointed out to me. I saw the same thing. It's one of our listeners. We're imagining, as a little boy, or maybe the son of one of our listeners, who's holding a small alligator.
With the duct tape on the bill.
Yep, for safety precautional reasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My grandmother used to live in Florida, and... every other year, we would get this from my grandmother. One year, she would send us. Now, keep in mind, this is alternating years. And I still think this is a thing in Florida. You get this crate of what looks like little oranges, but it's really orange gumballs.
Yeah.
But it looks like a crate of oranges. So that would be on even years. And then on odd years, she would get us, and I don't think they can do this anymore, but this used to be a thing in Florida. They would have actual alligators that were caught and stuffed. They would be about 12 inches, 14 inches. But they would dress them up in vacation-y-looking outfits, like Hawaiian shirts, sombreros. Sometimes they'd be holding a margarita glass.
They wouldn't
glass.
Wear those in real life.
I don't think in real life, Wendy, they would. I don't think they'd fall for that. But I think once they're captured and stuffed, you can pretty much put anything you want on them.
So it was real alligator skin?
It was real alligator that they were stuffing and making it look as though they were... enjoying the Florida sun.
I seem to remember getting a souvenir that was like a small, I guess it would be a caiman, because it's like pretty small. It was only maybe about 6 inches, but it would be like kind of crispy because it was...
Yep.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So every other year we would get one, and sometimes it would be like lounging on a lawn chair.
Mine didn't have outfits. Itself.
Oh, that's what made it. They weren't intricate outfits, but just enough for you to look at it and go, oh, it's a vacation for the alligator, but it really wasn't, because they were catching them and stuffing them. All right. You had mentioned that you think that you fell prey to a hoax.
Yeah, the Area 51. Now, again, I heard my boys discussing it, but now that I'm thinking about it further, they were saying... what if people don't believe it's a hoax and show up? This could be dangerous. That's what they were talking about.
So they knew it was a hoax.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it. But I just heard part of a conversation, and I'm like, oh, I think it would be fun to go.
Yeah.
And then I fell for it. I thought it was a real deal.
Yeah. I may have done the same thing. I told a story to my family the other day that they laughed at me because they said, I can't believe you fell for that. But I did fall for that. But I still think it's real.
Okay.
This was on Facebook. This is somebody that I only know this woman through Facebook, but she posted or reposted something that one of her friends, and why wouldn't I believe her, posted on their Facebook page. So she did this to create an awareness so that we're all aware of this problem. Tell me if you think that I was taken or not. It shows the woman in a hospital bed with lacerations all over her neck and her chest. And she says, my husband, I don't remember her husband's name. My husband was mowing the lawn. I was doing some gardening. As he was mowing, he hit something and it became a projectile and it cut into her neck and her chest and it just shredded her neck and her chest. So she said, I'm posting this so you're all aware. If somebody in your family is mowing the lawn, stay clear of it. Don't get anywhere near it.
That's totally good advice.
I think it's fantastic advice. And I don't know this woman, but I was going to try to reach out to her to say, this is horrible. I never would have thought something so horrible. And my wife and one of my daughters, they're laughing at me going, that wasn't real. They saw the same thing. They go, that was just a joke. I go, well, who would benefit from that?
A joke is supposed to be funny.
Right.
That's not funny.
That's not funny.
And, you know, I've cut the grass in the past where a rock, you go over a rock or something. Mm-hmm.
And it flies.
Yeah, and I still kind of probably have a very light bruise. It hit me so hard.
How long ago?
A couple years ago.
And it's still there. Like you're still bruised for this.
Yeah, I mean, it's like kind of like a discoloration now on my skin, but it hit me so hard.
Right.
And that's why they say you should wear some kind of eyeglasses.
Goggles.
Well, you look stupid wearing ski goggles.
I didn't say ski goggles.
Just sunglasses or something.
Mowing goggles. I have a pair of mowing goggles.
You should. Somebody'd buy those. But you're supposed to have, you know, your eyes protected because of that exact reason that a rock can shoot out. I mean, I don't know where she'd be severed.
It looked like shrapnel.
Well, that's totally. How is that a hoax?
That's what but they're like, why would you fall for this?
Are we getting dumber as we get older?
No, but then I'm like second doubting myself, like, well, I don't know this woman. But then like the argument I kept presenting is, what would somebody get out of this? Like if you were plotting to mess with somebody, why would you choose this method? Why would you stage a woman in a hospital with cuts on her neck and her chest? It doesn't, the payoff isn't worth it.
Unless something happened, like she was in a car accident and she was trying to make it seem
worse than it was?
No, but just to kind of make a silly story to go, like, you know, no, I was attacked by some kind of raccoon, but no, I'm just going to say it's the lawnmower.
Right.
Be careful. I don't even understand that.
I don't get it either.
It's not a hoax.
But I was told that I was taken for a ride. That's what I was told.
I think they're just not caring or compassionate people.
Right.
And they don't cut the grass, so they don't have to worry about it.
Right.
Is this Megan?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Megan. You have a similar story?
Well, yes. A long time ago, the principal at my children's school was mowing his lawn, and a rock flew up, and it completely shattered his ankle.
Ugh.
I mean, it was bad. So it can happen.
Yeah. That was my argument exactly. This can happen.
It's not a hoax picture.
I don't think it's a hoax.
I mean, why would somebody say that as a joke? It's not funny.
Right. I know.
So, anyway, it can happen. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for backing me up, Megan.
I 100% believe
it. I'm going to send my wife and daughter packing, Wendy. That's the last straw. They're done. They're done. We can't have this.
I 100% back you up on this one.
Have you ever been in a situation where like why do you fall for stuff like this? And I go, I didn't fall for anything. This woman could have been killed. You saw her neck and her chest were just shredded by the, oh, dad.
I think our families
believe anything.
Take advantage of us, because I can't remember what happened last night, but the same thing happened. You live with three girls. I live with three boys.
Yeah.
I said something, and it was just dead air. They all looked at me, and then they started laughing at me. No one can remember what it was, but I was like, no, you guys, that's for reals. And they're like, yeah, right. I just felt so stupid.
Right. We're underappreciated, Wendy. That's what it comes to.
Yeah, but totally I wish I could remember, because I don't think I was wrong either.
Yeah.
It's just they all team, they all...
Well, once you're outnumbered, what can you do?
They
you
all
know?
Pile on.
Yes. Yes. Luckily, you have a work environment where that never happens to you. You're fortunate that way.
Yeah, really. It sucks in both the work and home. All right. Good point.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. There's more show ahead.
Hey, tonight the rivalry is on. The Cubs and the Reds battle it out in primetime at Wrigley tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
Here's a text, Wendy. I know somebody, if you're just joining us, I may or may not have fallen for a Facebook hoax. I don't think I did.
I don't think I did, right? Mm-mm.
I saw a woman. This is a friend of a friend. A friend of a Facebook friend.
It's usually how the story starts, though. I got to be honest with you.
But normally when stories start like that, they're fake, right? So maybe I didn't get taken. She showed this woman was in a hospital bed with cuts all over her neck and her chest because her husband was mowing the lawn and something got caught in the lawnmower and shot out and just shredded her neck and chest. Not pretty pictures at all. But my wife and my daughter say that I was taken for a ride, that I fell for something that wasn't real. I don't think so, though. Here's a text. I know somebody who ran over a screwdriver in the lawn while cutting their grass, and it shot across the street and got stuck in a car door. The screwdriver did.
It totally can happen.
It becomes like a missile almost.
Again, these stories, though. I worked with a lady whose granddaughter lost an eye when a rock was shot out. And a landscaper checked in and said, you know, stuff flies all the time out of a lawnmower. And then somebody says that they're just doing this to make a video to go viral so they can get paid on YouTube.
My mom used to tell my brother and I stories all the time about a girl who lived in her neighborhood who lost an eye, like whatever we were doing, we'd be making cupcakes. And she goes, be careful with the cupcakes because my friend lost her eye making cupcakes. And then we'd always say, what happened to her? And my mom would say, she moved away. That was the end to every story. She moved away. Well, she didn't have an eye. She lost an eye making cupcakes, so she had to move away.
That is a great ending when you have nothing else. I love it. Is this Denise?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Denise. What happened?
Well, it was 50 years ago when I was 5 years old. I was sitting on the front porch. My mom was cutting the grass. And all of a sudden, something shot me in the neck. So my mom came over and she pulled my hand away because I was covering it up. And she thought it was just a nut on the skin burning because the skin was burning. So she pulled it. And it was an actual bolt.
Stuck in your neck, Frankenstein?
Stuck in my neck.
Oh, my
God. Stuck in my neck. Went in like butter.
Oh, no.
So, not a hoax. And to this day, I still don't like being around lawnmowers.
A bolt in your neck? That could have been fatal.
Yes. Oh, I could have lost my voice.
Well, thank you for calling.
Sure, no problem.
That's horrible.
I totally believe this, Bill.
No one needs that.
Sandy was mowing her lawn. What happened to you, Sandy?
A man was mowing my yard on a riding mower, and the front tire came off and got caught in the blade and was shredded, and two different pieces went through my living room windows.
Oh, my God.
Horrible.
Fortunately, I was not home.
You're very, very lucky. That could have been a terrible ending.
But you're so right. So I kind of agree that lady in the bed, it might not be a hoax.
Well, thank you. I appreciate people being on my side for this. Thank you so much for the phone call, Sandy. Appreciate it. Be careful.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Right. We might do some firecrackers around the 4th of July, and sometimes there's a dud that hasn't gone off.
Yeah, sure.
And I went over one with the lawnmower, and it scared the heck out of me, and the whole lawnmower could have exploded, so that was worrisome to me. I don't cut the grass anymore because it's too dangerous.
Right.
Somebody, this makes me sad and sick. 630, we hit the dog with the mower, almost had to amputate his leg, no kidding. In a $1,500 operation, he was just fine in a couple of weeks. Keep everything away from those mowers. And that's true. I've seen videos of dogs barking at the mowers. You really shouldn't, you know, have kids playing in the yard.
Right.
Move them to the front yard
Stay
when
clear.
You're in the back.
Right.
And wear safety glasses. That's all I have to say. Or get a lawn service.
I'm going to start wearing safety goggles 24 hours a day, Wendy, just as a safety precaution.
Well, I guess, you know, if you do get a video up on YouTube and it goes viral, I don't know, you get a radio show or something, you become like...
Is that how
well,
it works?
You do become a That's celebrity. Fantastic. Somebody thinks your family may be setting you up for a mower incident.
No, I hope that's not the case.
I think people post things like this to see how many likes they can get. That's the benefit, because then you get paid from YouTube or whatever.
But isn't it odd to like? I mean, when you see a picture of a lady laying in a hospital room with cuts on her neck and her chest, my first impulse wouldn't be to like, to give that a thumbs up. Hey, I like this. This is fun. Happy summer. Why would you like that? You would learn from it, but there should be a bracket where I have learned from this. I don't like it, but I have learned from it.
Well, there are the various buttons on Facebook where you can put wow or something.
Oh, can you?
You do not know this?
I don't like whatever I see on Facebook, I just absorb.
You never comment?
Never. No.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not that I don't like it or dislike it.
You don't know how.
I don't know how is the main thing.
Yes, Bill, I do believe it. Keep in mind, a lawnmower blade on a typical riding mower spins approximately 3,000 revolutions per minute.
You say you want a revolution, Wendy.
I broke a car window when a rock shot out from 48 inches, a walk behind baby bunny.
Baby bunnies?
Listen,
what happened?
The bunnies are stupid in Illinois. I don't know about elsewhere.
You just lost all of our bunny listeners.
I love bunnies. I had a bunny. I had a pet bunny named Nosy who lived, I think he was like 10 years old or something.
In a castle by the sea?
No, in a hutch out in the backyard that my grandfather Nino made, complete with a little shingled house that you'd stuff with straw in the winter so he could burrow through.
Wow.
He was probably about 12 pounds.
Yeah.
Maybe even he was a pretty big bunny. I love bunnies, but they are so stupid.
Yeah.
They make a nest in the center of your yard. Here's an idea. Do it like in the corner of the yard or somewhere, but not right in the middle.
Right.
So I wasn't the one pushing the lawnmower, but maybe Jimmy Mack was, and you go over the nest, and it's terrible. And don't they smell dogs? Like,
do bunnies smell dogs?
If you were a bunny, if you were a mama bunny.
Wait, let me, okay, I'm with you.
You'd be so cute.
I would be. I can't argue that point.
You're in a yard,
yes.
And every once in a while, you realize that several times a day, this big dog-like creature chases you out of the yard.
Right.
Wouldn't you go somewhere else to make your nest, or would you make a nest where that dog chases you out five times a day?
Yeah, right. Now I get it.
I just can't believe it. Kathleen has called us, 312-981-7200. Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, this is gruesome and so sad, but last year when I have a pull string mower.
Yeah.
And I was pulling it and I was like, damn, the blades aren't going. So I had picked it up and looked, and we have a lot of feral cats and kittens in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
There was one in there?
Yeah.
In the blade? Oh, no.
Yeah. And I was like by myself. I was like looking for my neighbor, anybody to just help me take this poor thing that I killed it. And I feed these feral cats because they keep the rats away and the mice away, and right. I love them, you know, but it was horrible. So now I'm like, anything I do, I'm like checking underneath, you know.
But it was clearly not, you know, it wasn't your fault, obviously.
No,
you know that.
But I still
feel responsible.
Oh my God. That's terrible. Yes, and then I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And, you know,
That's when you call a neighbor.
Yeah.
Can you help me here?
Oh, yeah. No. You know what? Nobody was around, and I had to do it myself. And in that, but I mean, I still have like tears in my eyes because of that.
It's
because
terrible.
I love animals.
I'm so with you, Kathleen. Thank you so very much for calling.
You didn't ask Kathleen to dog sit for you while you're on vacation. I'm surprised. I'm shocked. Call back, Kathleen.
847, 60 years ago, my dad was mowing the lawn. A rock shot out and hit him in the eye, breaking his glasses. He was rushed to the hospital to get glass removed from his eye. Luckily, he did not lose his vision. And then there's a story. I don't have the other half of it, but I will improvise a little bit.
All right.
A rock shot out while my wife was cutting the grass. She lost an eye, sued one, and was only to see half the money. She only had one eye. That's how they roll.
That's not good. All right, we'll take a break. Court-ordered break, and then some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Hard to believe, but it was exactly 50 years ago today.
Saturday. Isn't it? Sorry, Bill.
I thought it was today. Today?
We're celebrating the anniversary.
Well, I will save my thoughts until Saturday, then. I have nothing to say until Saturday. I'm zipped up.
Can I just congratulate Ed from Itasca? He's going to the 12th Annual Blackhawks Convention, July 26th through the 28th at the Hilton, Chicago. So have a good time, Ed from Itasca, and your chance to win coming again soon.
On Saturday, Wendy, it's the 50th anniversary of three men, three brave, brave astronauts landing on the moon.
They were brave.
Two of them got to go out on the moon.
Yeah, what's up with that? That's
not fair.
It is not.
If you take the family, if you say, everybody get in the car, we're going to the Wisconsin Dells, and you drive the family to the Wisconsin Dells, and you say, Mark, stay in the car while we go and enjoy the Wisconsin Dells, Mark's going to be upset. If you take the trip, did he know? He knew in advance, I guess. Michael Collins was the third astronaut. It was your Neil Armstrong, it was your Buzz Aldrin, and then Michael Collins. So they must have said to him in advance, hey, you'll go out there, but you'll stay inside the vehicle.
That's not fair.
You know who his daughter is, right?
Mm-mm.
Michael Collins' daughter is Kate Collins, who played Natalie on All My Children.
Really?
Yeah.
The things you know.
Yeah. But I didn't know the moon landing was 50 years Saturday.
Well, I think it was launched. Is it true it was launched today? I'll get these exact dates for you. I don't know why I don't have them. It landed the lunar module on July 20th.
Yeah. Do you know what I remember most from that day?
What?
50 years ago? So I would have been six. I remember playing wiffle ball on our front lawn with friends, with kids who lived down the street, and my mom running out to the yard saying, it's landing, come in and watch this. And me not wanting to stop playing wiffle ball.
Right.
Just saying, I'll be in when the game's over. And she's like, no, this is the most important thing. You need to see this. And I'm like, in the middle of a wiffle ball game.
Did you watch it?
Grudgingly. Very upset about.
Do you remember that moment? Because I don't know that I do.
I remember the whole procedure. Like, I don't remember the exact landing and when. In my head, from the time it landed on the moon and they came out and when Neil Armstrong came out and made his speech, I remember it being hours between. Could I be wrong on that? It wasn't instantaneous, right? There was a long time that passed.
No, it's not a cartoon. They just land and click, the door opens.
Right.
Whew, that was a long trip.
Michael, stay inside. Michael Collins, you stay where you are. We'll check out the surface of the moon. You stay in here.
Why did he have to stay in there?
He must have been bad or something. Must have been
that time
they punished
out?
Him. Yeah, it put him in timeout.
50 years ago today is when it was launched. So we're
launched today, landed Saturday.
Yeah, the 20th. Yes.
Okay.
That's okay. We got a wiggle room. You do it this week,
right?
I'm not in the rest of the week, so you know we're covering today,
right?
I don't remember it.
You don't remember any of it?
I remember,
at all?
You know, my parents and brother and sister maybe being very excited about it, and I think I was called in to watch it too. And I, you know, now that I watch the footage, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember seeing that. But I don't remember if it was when I was watching it as it happened or when I saw pictures of it or video of it later.
I remember as we were watching it, it was very, I mean, it's a miracle. Every part of it, I mean, it's hard. It's a combination of hard work and a miracle that it all took place.
Agreed.
But I remember it being very glitchy. Like, you'd watch it, and it would be jumpy and stuff like that, and I wasn't used to that from my TV. I was used to it being a solid broadcast, but because it was so far and there was so many different elements at work, it was real jumpy and stuff.
That was the first Skype.
That was the first Skype. People forget, right.
Like robots, yeah.
It was like, remember Max Headroom?
Yep.
Where you would see stuff, and then there'd be a jump.
Right.
It was a lot
and
like
a glitch.
That. Would you say that just the mere fact that we put men on the moon, is that our greatest achievement in our lifetime, do you think? Or is there something...
In our lifetime?
Yeah. In our lifetime, do you think that there's been a greater achievement than putting men on another planet?
Well, the moon's not a planet, is it?
Yes. The moon is a planet.
I think that is the most... One of the... the most you need to know... Because it's pretty huge.
Just by greatest achievements.
It's pretty great.
I mean, I'm not going to surprise you with any of these, but, you know, the inventions, we've had several inventions of in our lifetime that are monumental, but I think putting guys on the moon may be the best of the best.
All right, listen, I don't like to cause trouble.
However.
Hey, John?
Yes?
What's going on?
Hey, the reason Collins couldn't get out is because he wasn't in the module. It's a three-part. A booster shoots up, and then there's two parts left. Collins stayed in that, and then the two other guys took off in the module that actually went to the moon. So then after they went to the moon, they got back in the module and came back into the place where Collins was to get connected again to come back to space.
Like the getaway driver, right?
Well, essentially, yeah. But couldn't they have arranged it? Couldn't they have figured out a way since he made the trip with them. It would have been nice to say, Michael, go on out for a few minutes, walk around for a little bit. They could have given him 5 minutes or something, right?
It probably would have been, but like I say, he wasn't in that.
He was just orbiting the moon. You know, so. He never landed on the moon.
There you go.
God, we got to do our homework a little more.
But he was all the way up there.
Thank you, John.
Pete Best of the Apollo 11.
Well, the moon was my favorite planet.
Yeah.
I honestly, we're too young. I remember more Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Definitely the Challenger. I remember that.
Sure. That was horrible.
When was that? Because was that like pretty much, that wasn't 24-hour news coverage yet, was it?
No.
We were at school, I think. But I got to be honest with you, I don't really remember the moon landing.
I think you were already out of school for the Challenger.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Was that 1985, I want to say? Right in there somewhere? So you would have been out of school for that.
But I would say this was probably the greatest feat.
Don't you think?
Sending someone to the moon and being able to step on it and put that MTV flag up there.
Right.
And then...
right.
Wasn't there somebody that really thought... Yeah. It's a pretty huge accomplishment. And to survive the trip, I mean, that's why I would have been so nervous had I been there.
Don't you think because computers are nowhere near what... I mean... What we've accomplished now, they always say that there's more computer going on in your cell phone right now than NASA had during the moon landing, right?
Yeah.
So don't you think because computers weren't as savvy as they are now when they were creating this whole concept of sending men to the moon, there were so many elements that I can't figure out how, like, for instance, just the mere fact because there was no gravity, how it landed, I don't know how you do the math on that to figure out how to land a vehicle on there. Because you go, well, but we have gravity here, so we could test it here all day, every day. It's different up in space. Everything's different up in space, and we hadn't been there before, obviously.
That, my friend, is why we are not rocket scientists.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't even begin to know where to start.
Works, right? Every part of it is mysterious.
Thrusters to push it down.
Thrusters.
Yeah.
Challenger disaster.
Jen, that's what I would say at the meeting. I'd go, I'd raise my hand and I'd go, we should probably have some thrusters up there.
Yeah. To push
bring
it down.
Thrusters. I'd make a list. Things to bring to moon.
I just know thrusters from
Michael
Toe Jam
Collins,
and Earl.
So he can't come out and play on the moon with us.
Space Shuttle Challenger disaster was January 28th, 1986. So you're right. We were out of high school. But I do remember watching
out
that.
Out of college already.
Yeah. Well, my college.
For those of us who did.
But that was, I just remember just being just shocked and saddened
sure.
at this first, you know, a teacher. It just was terrible.
Yeah.
Apollo 8 was December 21st, 1968. Apollo 12, November 14th, 1969.
Who were the astronauts on those, does it say?
On 8?
Yeah.
Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and William Anders.
Yeah.
I just know Jim Lovell.
Because he's from here.
Yeah. Apollo 12 was 1969, and that was Pete Conrad, Richard F. Gordon Jr., and Alan Bean. And then we had Apollo 13, April 11th, 1970. I remember that splashdown.
Yeah.
In fact, we were at Cape Canaveral, I think.
For the splashdown? Were you?
Might have been. That might have been the dreaded summer going to Disney trip where I threw up in my Mickey Mouse ears.
Yeah.
But we did go to Cape Canaveral. I can't remember if it coincided.
You should have told that story to the astronauts after they splashed down. You guys think you had it rough. I got sick in Disney World. You should have shared that story with them.
I'm sure they threw up in their thruster.
My story.
I have no recollection of my life. My dad died when I was 10, and I honestly don't remember very much of my childhood prior to that. I really don't. But Apollo 13.
Does it say there was an astronaut named Gordon Cooper, I remember. Is he listed in any of those?
Didn't I just
Was he one of the ones?
Apollo
and how about Eugene Cernan?
Richard Gordon Jr. was Apollo 12.
Oh, yeah.
And then Apollo 13 was Jim Lovell again, Jim Swigert, and Fred Hayes.
You had to have a guy named Jim if you were going to the moon. NASA said, you better throw a Jim on the ship. Get thrusters and Jim.
Just like if we're going to have a WGN radio, we have to have a Steve.
Right. There must be by law.
Got to be a Steve.
One Steve involved at all times.
Cernan, I just know the Cernan Space Center at Triton College.
Did you visit there on a field trip? We went.
No, I went there.
Oh, you went there?
I went to Triton.
On a field trip.
It's pretty cool. They used to have a laser light show that was pretty awesome with lots of Floyd music. But Cernan, he was the last astronaut to leave his footprints on the moon.
Here's a quick trivia question. See if you can get this. How many people have flown to the moon? As of right now, how many people have flown to the moon?
Wow.
Can we take a break?
Yes.
I promise I won't Google it.
You promise?
I swear to God.
All right.
But we have to take
a break. No Googling, no thrusters.
Can't promise that.
All right, see what happens. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, on Saturday, it'll be the 50th anniversary of us finally landing men on the moon, getting out of the capsule, walking around the moon. So I asked you this question, and I'll qualify it because several texters want to know exactly what this means. How many people, it's a two-part question, how many people have flown to the moon, and how many of those people have actually walked on the moon? So that's a separate category. Because like Michael Collins, sometimes you get people who act only as the driver. Their intent is to not walk on the moon. But I say, if you make the trip, you give the guy 5 minutes. You go, have at it. Walk around the moon.
He was like their Moonbird driver.
Yes, <that's>
instead of
exactly
Uber,
right.
Moonbird. So I would
give
say...
Give him a good Yelp review, Wendy.
Three people have stepped on the moon.
You say a total of three.
I know nothing.
24 people, as of now, 24 people have flown to the moon. Of those 24, 12 have walked on the moon.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are they?
But isn't it crazy that we don't know their names?
I know.
If you achieve something that amazing, everyone should know your name. But we can only name a hand. I can only name a few of them.
I can only name three.
Why is Michael Collins, although he'd be in his late 80s, you would think he'd be all over the place now, but maybe he's in failing health. Why isn't anyone interviewing him? I'm not seeing Michael Collins anywhere.
I don't know.
Isn't that strange?
You ask a lot of questions that I don't know the answer to today.
Wendy, because I'm inquisitive.
You're like a curious little monkey.
Yeah, I am.
Curious George.
Thank you.
Michael Collins.
I'm having lunch with the man in the yellow hat, so hurry up.
Michael Collins was on Apollo 11 and Gemini 10. God, I forget about all these different expeditions.
Missions?
Yes, that was the word.
Yep.
Michael Collins.
But he'd be in his late 80s at this point. He'd
he's
have
88.
To be. 88, yeah. So maybe that's not why we're not seeing him anywhere.
Well, Fox News had him on 2 hours ago.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So he's still out there.
I guess, yeah.
All right. All right. What's coming up on the bonus hour, can we say? Oh, you just said.
What is wrong with you today? I'm the one going on vacation. You're already on vacation.
Right. I'm preparing for
this last half hour.
I'm preparing for your dismissal by not paying attention.
Yeah, here, let me give you a little sample of it. Do you know what M&M stands for?
Something in Mars, right?
It ties into the whole moon thing. See, this is what we're doing here. Yes, that's one of them. It stands for Mars and Murray's, the last name of the candy founders. M-U-R-R-I-E-S.
Oh, yeah.
This might be my favorite one. What does Pam cooking spray stand for? Now, you know.
Oh, I didn't know it stood for anything.
Well,
I thought
it
was
is
just named after a woman named Pam, I thought.
Isn't that kind of weird, though? Like, you'd think, like, there was Easy Off Oven Cleaner that explained what it is. This was just Pam, and we all call it that. Hey, could you go pick up some olive oil flavored Pam?
Yeah.
Hey, do you have any Pam, the recipe calls for it so the cookies won't stick. It Pam stands for Product of Arthur Meyerhoff.
Seriously?
So P-A-M.
Oh.
That is the greatest thing.
I didn't know. I just thought it was a lady.
Nope, it's Product of Arthur Meyerhoff.
That's a better name. They should call it that. It'd sell way more. All right, so we'll discover more of these during the bonus hour. Please join us.
Please do. And coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo. She is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening right here, 720 WGN.